All right. Hey guys, just to let you know, this sermon is in preparation for Sunday, which is the time we'll be celebrating Mother's Day. And so we'll be bringing a Mother's Day themed message, and I'm excited to bring that. Let's pray together and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word that you're about to give us, Lord. I pray that our hearts would be open. We thank you for mothers and celebrating how blessed we are with them, and just thank you for the wonderful godly women that are in this church body that encourage it and have been such a blessing to so many. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So when we start thinking about Mother's Day, I wanted to give a little bit of an introduction to this idea, because Mother's Day is kind of complex in the sense of Mother's Day is a celebration of moms, and we get that. And celebrating all the things that we're so thankful for, you know, the good mothering that you've had and the loving and the nurturing, all the things that a good mom has done, and you're just celebrating that. And there have probably been some breakfast in beds this morning that aren't normally done, and a couple of gifts and some flowers, no doubt. So it's a time of celebrating, but unfortunately, reality is Mother's Day is really hard for a lot of people. And that could be for just tons of reasons, the loss of a loved one, the loss of a child, loss of a mom, and on and on it could go. A bad experience having grown up in a tough house with a mom that didn't show the love of Christ. And it could be so many reasons why this day could be tough. And so I want to acknowledge both the celebration and the tough part of Mother's Day. And so if you woke up today and you were having a tough morning because it's Mother's Day and it stirs up a lot of emotions for you, I want you to know that you're not alone. There's a lot of people who share that same feeling. And what I hope and pray is that you'll get some encouragement out of this message, and that it'll just be a blessing to your heart in the middle of that struggle, and to kind of help you as you go through it. It won't fix it, but it'll be there to be an encouragement. And so the last thing I'll say as introduction is I'm going to focus my points and everything for this message on moms. And if you're not a mom, all these things apply to you. I'm just leaving you out of the direct approach, okay? So everything we're going to talk about applies to dads and single people and grandparents, and everybody's included. But we want to give some special attention to mom. She's important, and we're celebrating her today. Well, not today, but on Sunday when this will go up. So we're going to look in Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to look at verses 11 through 16. And we're going to look at, out of there, we're going to just draw four basic points. And these aren't earth-shattering. They're not brand new. They're not something you've never heard before. But they're just a good reminder, especially for moms today, about how much God loves you, about how important you are in your role as a mom, and how what a blessing you are as you serve the Lord in your role as mom. So let's get into it, okay? And we're going to begin in Hebrews 11:11, and let's read that. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And so, Christian mama, your number one first thing here is your life is a life of trusting God to do the things that you can't. The example that we have in Scripture is of Sarah. And if you can remember back to the days of Abraham, Sarah was Abraham's wife, and God had called them out of Ur, and Sarah was not able to have kids. And God had made a promise to Abraham and Sarah. He said, you're going to have descendants that will exceed the number of the stars in the sky. And so that's a pretty big, pretty bold promise from God. But Sarah passes through her entire childbearing years without a single child. And then she passes a point in life where she's no longer, even if she had been able to bear children, she would no longer be able to. In other words, she was too old. She was too seasoned in life to be able to have a child. And it was at precisely these moments, with all these obstacles in front of them, that God tells Abraham and Sarah, hey, you're going to have a kid. And you're going to, you know, it's going to be born from Sarah. And Sarah laughed, if you remember the story. And she denies laughing, and God says, oh, I heard you laugh. But anyway, I'll move off of that and move back on to the point. So what happens, though, is in the life of Sarah, there was something that God had for her that she could see out there, but she was not capable of doing on her own. And so it took faith to trust that God was going to be able to do what she could not do. And if there's ever been a point that I think just hits home and nails us and nails you mamas today, is this: the task that God has given you to do is too great for you to do in your own strength. To be a good, godly mother is something you need the Spirit of God to be able to do. And you won't be able to do it on your own. And you got to have faith that what you can't do, that God's going to be able to do that through you and to accomplish it by His own power. When I think about this, I think about it this way. You know, the task, one of the tasks of a mama is to love and nurture and discipline and guide and lead these little people to grow up to be big people who have morals and standards, and who ultimately the main goal is that these people would, young people would grow up and become followers of Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, in this world and with the sinful hearts that we have, that is an impossible task to do on your own. To be just to use one point of it, to be patient enough to do that with poopy diapers, no sleeping at night, and then all the hormones and emotions that come around the age of 13 through the age of, well, I'm 38, so somewhere around in there. There's so much to being a mom that puts this outside of your scope, outside of what you're able to do on your own, that it's going to take a life of faith and dependence on God. So, mama, you want to be a great mom. You want to be a godly mom. You're going to have to be a mom of faith, putting your trust that Jesus is going to be able to do in you the things that you cannot do on your own. You know, Paul gave us an example of this over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In verses 9 through 10, say this: Jesus said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So, what I want you to see there is, when you look at this, it's okay to be able to say, I can't do this. Because in your weakness, mama, God's strength is going to shine through. And He's going to be the one that strengthens you to love that kid on a night when you're on the third night in a row with no sleep. He's going to be the one that gives you the patience to correct and aim the wayward teenager who's not listening to anything that you say, who's rebelling against everything that you try to put in front of them. And God's going to give you that compassionate heart that keeps driving back to them, keeps trying to point them to Jesus. And so, mama, I want you to know your life is a life of faith if you're going to do the things that God wants you to do, because they're beyond what you and I can do on our own. And like I said at the beginning of this, if you're not a mama, you didn't escape that point. All of that applies to you. Every daddy, every grandma, every grandpa, every aunt, uncle, cousin, and hairstylist, everybody is covered in that, okay? You can't do what God made you to do without living a life of faith. It's not meant to be done in your strength. That's the first little nugget. The second nugget comes out of 12 through 14, back in Hebrews 11. Let's read those. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Now these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such thing declare plainly that they seek a homeland. So, Christian mama, the second thing I want you to know is this. In your lifetime, it's very probable that you will not get to see the fulfillment of the work that you're doing right now. But you're going to make it through because you're going to have your eyes on eternity. So let's break that down. What's going on here? God promised kids to Abraham and Sarah. He promised to the multitude of the stars greater than the grains of sand on the shore of the sea. When you think about that, that's a lot. And what did they have as evidence of the promise? Well, for a majority of their married life, they had nothing as evidence of a promise. They had a promise from God, but that's all they had. What did God give them before they died? Before Sarah died, what did God give her to show her he was going to fulfill that promise? One. He gave her one son. And that's powerful, isn't it? Think about that for just a second. What God had promised and the work that God had given Sarah to do, she didn't get to see the fulfillment of all of the promise, of all that God was doing with what he was doing in her life. And that really got to pouring through my mind. As I thought about this, mamas, you do some hard, hard work. And you're trying to raise young people. You're trying to help people in the community. You're trying to help younger mothers and older mothers, too, with different things. And you ladies are doing some phenomenal work for our Savior. He's empowering you. You're really communicating. You're really doing some awesome things. But what occurs to me is a lot of you aren't going to get to see the fulfillment of what you're pouring your heart into. And if I'm honest with you and if you're honest with yourself, the role that you're playing right now, you want to see it come to pass in your lifetime. You know, you want to see all the effort. You want to see it come up. And you want to see how it's going to turn out. And I don't, you know, the reality is, guys, ladies, you're not going to see that in a lot of areas. So what keeps you from being discouraged when you don't get to see the end result? The thing that you're looking for, the thing that God's leading you to work in. How do you keep encouraged when you don't get to see the end result? Like Sarah, who just has one kid, instead of having children as the sands of the sea shore and as the stars of the sky, how do you keep encouraged when you only get to see a little part of what God's doing and you don't get to see the big thing? Well, I think the key is in the text. We find that encouragement from the power of looking forward to eternity. It is the power of keeping a perspective that says, you know what, in my lifetime, I can only see about this much. You know, my blinders are on. It keeps me from having a view of everything just because I'm not capable of taking it all in. But when I turn my eyes towards eternity, it transforms how I think. And so instead of thinking, okay, this is all I can see, and so this must be all that there is. You ever had one of those moments in life where all you could see is this much, and so that's all you thought was in the world? And then something happens, and you're opened up in your view, and you can see more of the world. Now, all of a sudden, what used to be here and looked so big looks small because it's out here in comparison to all this. And I think what's going to happen is when we turn our hearts and minds to eternity, mamas, what we're going to see is, okay, I might not see all that God is going to do with the way that he's using me now, but I'm able to look forward to eternity, and I'm able to say, okay, God, I'm able to keep going in what I'm doing because I know that it matters because you're the one who put me in this position, and I know that it's important because the lives of those that I'm affecting are important, and they matter, and they don't just matter for this life. They matter for eternity. And so I just wanted to share that point to you. So that's the second point. Let's get into the third point. Christian mama, your life of faith is better than any life you could turn to. Look at verse 15 with me. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. So here's something that just goes through my mind when I read this. Mamas, Sarah was from Ur. That's where Abraham is called out. And that was her homeland. And that was her life prior to coming into a life of faith and following the Lord. She's walking with Abraham, her husband, but her trust is growing in the Lord. And she's got her own relationship with the Lord. And she's following him, and she's learning and growing in faith. But the point of the verse is, at any moment in time, when she looked at what was going on in her life, some of the hardships, some of the difficulties, some of the loneliness, some of the disappointment that was going on in her life, at any moment in time, she could have said to herself, you know what? I think life would have been better over there, back in Ur. I think life would have been better over here or over there or any direction. I couldn't help but think about the children of Israel. Do you guys remember when they get out, they go leave Egypt, and one of the things that's constantly repeated in the book of Exodus is that when they were in the desert, it was difficult. There were hardships. There was enemies. And so what some people did is they began to say, I think we were better off in Egypt. I think life was better there. Well, they were wrong. It was much worse in Egypt in slavery with nothing to claim as their own and no presence of God with them there as far as what they had in the Exodus. And so, they were missing it. And the reason I bring those two examples up is because, Mama, you have a hard job. And I'll be honest with you, you are doing a very thankless job. Even the people that should be the most thankful to you are often the ones that are mad at you for doing your job well. that makes it hard, doesn't it? And so not only that, but in our society right now, being a mom is not one of the most honored and cherished jobs that there is. In fact, you're almost kind of looked at funny. If you emphasize that being a mom is a great thing, it's a wonderful thing, it's a gift, it's a blessing. I can't tell you how many times as the father of a large family, I've heard people say to my wife things like, well, you've got your hands full, or don't you know what causes that, and things like that. What are they saying to my wife? What they're saying is to her is this. They're saying, as a mom, you're really getting a bad deal here, and that it's not a blessing that you're a mom. It's a curse. Look at all these little curses running around you, and sometimes they make you want to curse, but they're not curses. They're blessings from the Lord. And so what I want you to see there is, this. When it gets difficult like that, and when society is telling you, being a mom, it's not that special, it's not important, they're wrong. But when they press in on your mind like that, and they're shaping and forming your thoughts like that, and then you add to that difficulties with the little people that you're raising, difficulties with other moms, difficulties with the husband in the house, or if he's not there and you're doing this all alone. There's a lot of difficulties and hardships that come with being a mom, and I want to recognize those. And I want to recognize one of the temptations when that happens, Mama. One of the temptations is going to be, this is too hard, this is too difficult. My life would be better if I were not walking by faith as a mom, if I were over here doing something else. What if I went back to my life where I could, I could make more money because I could work all the time, didn't have to worry about the kids, or I just had all these freedoms. I didn't have to worry about somebody else. I didn't have to think about, do we have sugar at home? I didn't have to think about, do the kids have the pencils that they need to be able to go to school? Life was easier. Life was better when I wasn't walking by faith with the Lord and raising these kids and being a mom. When you think about that, the temptation is going to be to think it's better doing something else than being a mom. And I want you to know this morning that if you're walking by faith, being a mom right now today, you're doing exactly the right thing. And I want you to hear this too. It's better than any other life that you could experience. Sure, you could have some more worldly blessings. You could have some more worldly things. And you could have maybe expend a little more of your energy on your own pleasures. But those things are all temporary. Those things don't hold any eternal value. The little people that you are pouring your life into, Mama, they have eternal value. And so you're living an absolutely wonderful life. I know it's hard, and I know I couldn't do it, and I know there's no guy on earth that could be a mama, and not just because that's the definition of the word, but the compassion and love and nurturing that y'all show is just such a gift from the Lord, and it's an equipping that he gives you, and I just want to recognize that it's hard, and that that hardship can make you want to quit. I mean, you'd be superhuman if you didn't want to quit sometimes, but be encouraged. The life track that you're on is better than any other that you could have. There's no better thing to be than what God made you to be. And if he gave you babies, however they came into your life, you're a mama. And that is the best life for you, best role for you. You keep on doing that and be encouraged. Okay? Now, number four. All right. Christian mama. I love this one. God is not ashamed to be called your God, and your faith in him is not misplaced. So that comes up in verse 16. Let's look at it together. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. This is great. A couple of things here. I want to tie this back to Sarah's life. First thing I want you to know about Sarah is if you read the story of Abraham and Sarah and how God walked with them and God worked in their lives in the book of Genesis, I want you to know that one of the first things that you're going to see is she did not get every step of this thing right. She was not the world's perfect wife and mom. When you read her story, you will see yourself there. There will be mistakes. Mamas, you've made mistakes. I know you have, because everybody has. And it's such a difficult job and such a difficult task. And so I know that there have been mistakes that you have made. And here's one of the things that Satan likes to do, mamas. He likes to tell you, you've made mistakes, you failed, and therefore you're worthless. You're no good. No one would love you. No one would say you're doing a good job. I can't tell you how many times in talking to mamas in this job, it has allowed me to hear the words come out of every mama I know just about to say, I just feel like such a failure. I'm just letting my kids down. I feel like I can't do anything right with them. I feel like I'm trying, but I'm just failing, and that's all that I'm doing. And what happens is Satan tries to use that to discourage you from doing what you're doing there as a mom. Okay, so the reason that he is so hard on you about that, mama, is because he knows that the work that you're doing is so valuable to God. He knows that God loves it when you are dependent on him to do a task that you can't do in your own strength. And so he wants to fight against that in every way. So he begins to try to attack you and try to say, hey, you don't get everything right. Well, guess what? God was not ashamed to be called the God of Sarah. And she didn't get everything right. So take heart, mama. You don't have to get everything right for God not to be ashamed of you. God's not going to be ashamed of you if you've gotten it wrong. God's not going to be ashamed of you if you've yelled at the kids when they didn't need it in a way that is not conducive to holiness. And God's not going to be ashamed of you if you've gotten it wrong and you've just walked out of the house and screamed as loud as your kid in the backyard or whatever it may be. He's not going to be ashamed of you. And so many times that's right where the enemy attacks. He says, you know, God's going to be ashamed of you. You've let God down. Well, from something I read and heard long ago, I got to remind you of it. You've never let God down. You know how I know that? Because you were never holding him up. It's him that holds us. And so he's not ashamed of you. She didn't get it all right. But I want you to know that what God was so pleased with Sarah, was she recognized that she didn't get it all right, and she knew that she couldn't do it on her own. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Think about this for just a second, mamas. What did it take to please God? Did Sarah have to get it all right? No, because she didn't get it all right. But she pleased God because with everything in her, she admitted she could not fulfill the role that God had given her without God working in his own power to accomplish it. And so it was actually God who did it all. Isn't that exciting? Mamas, isn't that exciting? That the way to please God in your life is to say to God, I cannot do this. I can't love them like I should. I can't teach them and train them like I should. I can't lead them to you like I should. I can't love their dad like I should. I can't do this on my own if dad's not around like I should. I can't do this at all, God. And you pour your heart out in honesty to God like that, and then you say, but God, you can. And I've got faith that you've put me here and you can do this even though I know I can't. That pleases God. He loves to hear that his children need him. And so, Mama, you can do that. You can call right out to God. Let me give you just one last note here, and that is this. God's not impressed by a mom who can hold it all together. That right there, that one line, should breathe a sigh of relief over every mama listening. Because social media and movies have created this idea that there's this mom out there that is never shaken. She gets it right every time. She's concrete. She never fails. And I'm here to tell you, that's not true. But the way forward is to have complete dependence on Jesus. And when you make mistakes, just admit them. Admit them to the Father, not the Father of your kids, the Heavenly Father. And admit them to your kids. Let God, let your kids know that you got it wrong. And then point them to the fact that it's only Jesus that's keeping you going. And just see how that works in your family. So that's it. I'm going to run back through this list one more time to just give your thoughts a last thing to latch on to. But this has been my encouragement for mamas. And I hope that if you're not a mama and you've been listening, I hope you find it encouraging too, because every single one of these points applies to you as well. Let me read back through them quickly. Christian mama, your life is a life of trusting God to do things you can't. In your lifetime, you may not see the fulfillment of all that God has put you in a role to do, but keep your eyes set on eternity. Your life of faith in Jesus is better than any other life that's out there. And finally, God is not ashamed to be your God, and your faith is not misplaced in Him. That's the last thing, guys. That last note of verse 16 says, He has prepared a city for them. You know what that means? That means God's got a place for those who have put their faith and trust in Him, a place they'll never have to leave, and a place where they'll be with Him for forever. Well, guys, that's it. That's the encouragement for you for this Mother's Day. I hope it's encouraged your heart. Mamas out there, I hope it's been an encouragement to you. And everybody else, would you love on your mama? Give her a call if you're not with her. Take care of her, spoil her a little bit, and let her know what a special blessing she is to your life. And we'll look forward to seeing you all again real soon. Be really excited when you'll be in here in this room with me. And it's going to be great, and can't wait for that reunion. You guys have a great week.